الحمد لله رب العالمين، اللهم صل وسلم على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه ومن تبعهم بإحسان إلى يوم الدين. أما بعد، continuing with the second, if we may call it the second part of the book of Shaykh al-Islam ibn Taymiyyah رحمه الله. We are dealing now with the Sunnah of the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم, and we are actually in the process of defining what the Sunnah is in relation to the Quran. And we had mentioned that the Quran and the Sunnah are both revelation, or only the Quran is revelation? That we said that first the Quran, then the Sunnah. Is that the sequence of virtue or importance, or the sequence of number?
Sequence of number.
Not virtue or importance. We said in terms of ruling, if the Sunnah is authentic, it is just like the Quran. Just like the Quran in terms of what it applies or what it alludes to. It's one and the same. We'll get some more examples. طيب, this was a quick revision. We stopped at the statement of الأموال الزكوية. Then, وَتَدُلُّ عَلَيْهِ, meaning the Sunnah, تَدُلْ. And we said دلالة is direction. So the Sunnah directs you towards the Quran. It directs towards the Quran. The Shaykh said, هذه كلمة تعم التفسير والتبيين والتعبير. فالسنة تفسر القرآن وتبين القرآن. This term encompasses explanation, clarification, and elaboration. So the Sunnah then interprets the Quran and it clarifies its meanings. وتعبر عنه يعني تأتي بمعان جديدة أو بأحكام جديدة ليست في القرآن. وتعبر عن it brings new meanings and new rulings that are not even in the Quran. Who can give us an example? Who can give us an example? I gave you one last week, but assuming you forgot that one. No, you brothers are off track. I didn't ask you to tell me something that explains the Quran. I said a ruling that is only in the Sunnah, not in the Quran. Gold ring. Is it in the Quran? Is it in the Sunnah? Do you have to apply it and not wear a gold ring? Yes. Some animals that were prohibited, the ones with claws, where did we get that from? From the Sunnah. So we have rulings that are actually, you will find maybe thousands of rulings that are in the Sunnah, not in the Quran, concerning the details of eating and drinking and the clothes that you wear. There's nothing in the Sunnah, in the Quran, that deals with the manner of dress code. All that has been defined in the Sunnah. Other things as well. طيب. وهذا كثير فإن كثيرا من الأحكام الشرعية استقلت بها السنة ولم يأتي بها القرآن. The Sheikh said this is abundant. We have a lot of legal rulings that the Sunnah brought is independent. They came independently through the Sunnah, and the Quran had no mention of them. Made no mention of them. لكن دل على أن لا حكم ما جاء في القرآن. And this is very, very important and fundamental. However, in the Quran, there has come evidences which explain that the effect of this Sunnah is equal to the Quran. And the Shaykh, he mentioned an ayah, وَمَنْ يُطِعِ الرَّسُولِ فَقَدْ أَطَاعَ اللَّهِ. Allah says in Surah An-Nisa, verse 80, whosoever obeys the messenger has obeyed Allah. Meaning anything the messenger sallallahu alayhi wasallam told us to do, it is from Allah. Because when you obey him, you have obeyed Allah. You see how beautiful that is. وَقَوْلِهِ وَمَا آتَاكُمُ الرَّسُولُ فَخُذُوهُ وَمَا نَهَاكُمْ عَنْهُ فَانْتَهُوا وَمَنْ يَعْصِ اللَّهَ وَرَسُولَهُ فَقَدْ ضَلَّ ضَلَالًا مُبِينًا. And the other ayah in Surah Al-Hashr, verse 7, and whatever the messenger gives you, take it, and whatever he prevents you from, then abandon it, leave it alone. tells you don't do something, don't do it. He tells you to do something, do it. In the ayat al-Ahzab, verse 36, and whoever disobeys Allah and His Messenger has went far clear astray. He is clearly misguided and off the path. Whoever disobeys the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam concerning that which is obligatory. And there are many things that are obligatory, which the people of desires, let's put it that way. The people of desires, whenever the Sunnah contradicts with their style, with their mode of life, with their preferences, then they automatically label it as something that is voluntary. Even though they may know that this is obligatory, or they may come to find out at some point in time, they may have thought initially that this is voluntary, then it was explained to them that this is not voluntary, this is obligatory, it contradicts personal desires, they will not apply it. The Sunnah has no room in their lifestyle. It opposes whatever element that they're trying to live up to. That's a dangerous approach, because Allah says, if you disobey Allah and His Messenger, you're definitely misguided. You're on the wrong path, which will not take you to Jannah for sure. So we need to be mindful of that. Now, to give you a practical example, Ibn Mas'ud radiallahu anhu had said that Allah curses the woman who pluck her eyebrows. And a woman came to him and she said, I heard you curse that woman who plucks her eyebrows. He said, shall I not curse those whom Allah cursed? She said, where is that? He said, it's in the Quran. She said, I read the whole Quran from cover to cover. I never came across that ayah where Allah cursed the woman who plucked their eyebrows. And he, radiallahu anhu, with his understanding of the deen, he quoted the ayah which we mentioned earlier. Whatever the Messenger gives you, take it. Whatever he prevents you, then you have to leave it alone. And he said now in his narration that Allah cursed the woman who plucked their eyebrows. She told him, well, your wife does it. You know, now she's trying to find some other, outlet. He said, go check her out. She went and she found out that his wife doesn't do so. She came back to him. He told her, had she been like that, she wouldn't be with me. If she was doing this, she wouldn't be my wife. That's Ibn Mas'ud. His wife better be upright like he was upright. Radiallahu anhu wa arda. So anyways, that's the idea. It comes in the Sunnah. Then the principle for apply or the application of the Sunnah is in the Quran. Don't say, well, I didn't see it in the Quran. Well, the Quran says, if you obey the Messenger, you have obeyed Allah. And khalas. Now everything that comes in the Sunnah, which is an obligation, we are we are obliged to act upon it. أَمَّا الْحُكْمُ الْمُعَيَّنُ فالسنة استقلت بأحكام كثيرة عن القرآن. As for particular rulings, the Sunnah has, as I mentioned, brought many rulings which are not found in the Quran. ومن ذلك ما سيأتينا في أول حديث ذكره المؤلف رحمه الله في هذا الفصل رحمه الله تعالى. And among that is the example which will be the first narration actually which the author will quote or cite. And may Allah have mercy on him in this chapter. ينزل ربنا إلى السماء الدنيا حين يبقى ثلث الليل الآخر فإن هذا ليس في القرآن. The first hadith which the Shaykh al-Islam will quote rahimahullah, that our Lord descends to the heaven, the lowest heaven of the dunya, the lowest heaven which is that of the worldly, this world of ours. When the last third part of the night has come in, that is not in the Quran. That is not in the Quran. That Allah Azza wa Jal descends at the last third of every night is not in the Quran. Where is it from? It's from the Sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. But the value which it holds is just like a verse in the Quran, because this hadith, by the way, is in Bukhari. This is an authentic narration. No one can come and girgir, say blah blah, brother. But this is be quiet, man. If you cannot believe in Allah and His Messenger, then go sleep. But don't be coming and trying to refute Allah and His Messenger and say, no, see, what is intended is this. And the people get philosophical. They can't just submit to Allah. They can't. They have to find some way to twist the meaning and give you some other philosophical interpretation that the Prophet ﷺ didn't teach the Sahaba. The Sahaba didn't understand it philosophically and teach it to their atba'. Everybody accepted it as is. Except these people in this day and time who don't seem to accept. And they have to find some other false interpretation. But we don't have that. إذن السنة مقامها مع القرآن على هذه الأنواع الأربعة: تفسير مشكل وتبيين مجمل ودلالة عليه وتعبير عنه. So then the Sunnah in reference to the Quran is in four different categories. Either it explains something ambiguous, or it clarifies something general, it specifies something general, or it indicates something in the Quran, or it expresses new rulings that are not found in the Quran. These are the four dimensions of the Sunnah in reference to the Quran and how we, you know, believe in it. طيب. ثم قال رحمه الله قاعدة مهمة. Then Shaykh al-Islam رحمه الله established a fundamental important principle, foundational. وما وصف الرسول صلى الله عليه وسلم به ربه عز وجل من الأحاديث الصحاح التي تلقاها أهل المعرفة بالقبول وجب الإيمان بها كذلك. Shaykh al-Islam went on to say, and whatever the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam described his Lord, his Master, may he be exalted with, in the authentic narrations that were accepted by the people of knowledge, it is obligatory to believe in that as well. وقوله وما هذه شرطية وفعل الشرط وصفه وجب الإيمان بها هذا جواب الشرط. This is a conditional clause. وما وصفه is the conditional clause, and then the answer is that you have to believe in it. Grammar, don't worry about it. فما وصف الرسول به ربه وكذلك ما سمى به ربه. Whatever the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم described Allah with, and whatever he named Allah, whatever names he gave to Allah, and we will see. لأن هناك أسماء مما سمى به الرسول صلى الله عليه وسلم ربه لم تكن موجودة في القرآن. There are names which the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم gave to Allah that are not found in the Quran. مثل الشافي, like the Shafi, the one who heals, the ultimate healer or curer. I don't know if this is a valid English word, but cure, the one who provides cure. Healing, the one who provides healing. From Shifa. Not Shafa, Shifa. قال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم واشفي أنت الشافي لا شفاء إلا شفاءك. And heal, you are the one who provides healing. There is no healing but the one provided by you. This is very important because if you pick up the famous poster that has the 99 names of Allah, this is not there. And you will find others that are inauthentic. Where is it? It's not here. Usually you find it in every room. You find other ones that are inauthentic in that list. And this is based on the famous hadith of Tirmidhi, which is da'if. Da'if. You know, you go to anyone's house, Allahu la ilaha illa huwa al-hayy al-malik al-quddus as-salam, with the list of 99 names is inauthentic. Inauthentic meaning not authentic. Meaning it has names there that are not attributable to Allah, that are not authentic, and it has some that are authentic which are missing. Right? Right. So, alaykum salam. So you have to be very, very, very careful. Alaykum salam ahlan. When you, some people love to give this as a present. And if you have it at home, you cannot keep it up anymore. Because it's a weak narration. Where? Hotel? Sheikh, it's put in the houses of more than hotels. It doesn't matter, brother.
But in the Mus'haf, they are printed.
It doesn't matter.
So we throw
the Mus'haf? The Mus'haf, at the end of the Mus'haf, it has the Dua, Khatm al-Quran. Where did that come from? Yeah. No such thing.
It's not, brother.
Let's just be clear, because I know I'm the shocker. This is my, should you give me the kunya, the shocker. The hadith is da'if. So once the hadith is da'if, it's not from the speech of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. It's from someone else. So for us to say these are the names of Allah, and the hadith is not sahih, it's a very dangerous claim. Now in that list of names, there are names that are not found in the Quran and not found in the Sunnah, or the authentic Sunnah, at least to say. However, there are other names like Ash-Shafi, which is authentic, that is not on the list of names. And we have the hadith that Allah, the ones that we have been given, Allah has more than 99, but the ones we know are 99. So when there's an authentic one not on the list, and we have 99 already, there's a problem, we have discrepancy. So that particular poster, which is based on the hadith in Tirmidhi, the hadith itself is inauthentic. And the poster, which is all over the Muslim world, is consequently inauthentic. Now when you put it up in your house, you are actually putting something that is not from the speech of the Prophet ﷺ. It has names of Allah that are not authentic in the Quran and the Sunnah. That's no good. If it's in the Quran, what can you do? If I were you, I will come and get a black marker and just, you know, just scratch it off.
Is there a list, final list now?
There is. I actually used to have it. Sheikh Ibn Uthaymeen, rahimahullah, had compiled them, and it comes on a card as small as a business card. I have a few of them at home.
99.
The 99 names, the authentic ones. There's a book for Sheikh Ibn Uthaymeen. It's available in English. It's called The Exemplary Foundations of the Names and Attributes of Allah. It's available in English by Darus Salam. I just suggest you go buy it.
Where does that come again?
I'll give you the name later. I don't want to give you the name. But the book is available in English. In English, and it has the authentic 99 names, inshallah, per the effort exerted by Sheikh Ibn Uthaymeen.
The God name is not only 99. Even there is I heard about that Aisha used to be praying. Give the name, what you have teach us in Quran.
I mentioned, brother, I said Allah has more than 99,
exactly.
But we only know of 99. You don't know of more.
But I read somewhere that the
ulama
has taken more than 99.
Sheikh, he has more than 99. Do you know them?
No.
We only know 99. That's my point. No, we know Allah has the hadith of the dua of Rasulullah, the dua of the Allahumma anni abduka ibnu abdika ibnu amatika nasiyati badika anta al hadith as'aluka bi kulli ismin huwa lak sammayta bihi nafsak aw anzaltahu fi kitabik aw 'allamtahu ahadan min khalqika aw ista'tharta bihi fi 'ilm al ghaib 'indak. This hadith, or a name which you kept within to yourself, you didn't share it with the creation. We agree, but we don't know more than 99. We know there is more than 99, but we don't have more than 99.
But I read American ulama has a list more than 99.
Where do they get it from? Well, based on weak narrations, maybe.
Maybe.
If they combine the authentic ones with the one in Tirmidhi, you will turn out with more than 99. But what the Prophet ﷺ taught us, he said Allah has 99 names. Whoever encompasses them in knowledge and application will enter Jannah.
Exactly.
Right or wrong? So he specified 99. Now we have to find 99 authentic ones, which the ulama have done. If you combine them with the hadith in Tirmidhi, you will turn out with more, because there are ones in the Tirmidhi hadith which are inauthentic. Capish? So we go back to the same point, which is, if you have that poster, put it down. Okay?
So this 99 from Quran and Sunnah also, not only from Quran.
Yes, because here this one, Shafi, is from the Sunnah. And we get more, we have another example. Where is the Shaykh will mention another example? Here's another one. Ar-Rabb. Ar-Rabb, the Master, is not in the Quran. Rabbul Alameen, Rabbun Ghafoor, Baldatun Tayyiba, or Rabb, but not Ar-Rabb. But never with the Alif Lam. With the Alif Lam, it only came in the Sunnah. The Prophet ﷺ said, as for the ruku', amma ruku' fa'azzimu fihi ar-Rabb. Then glorify in it the Rabb. So then we have Ash-Shafi and Ar-Rabb are not in the Quran, they are in the Sunnah. But you will not find them in the hadith of Tirmidhi, which is found in that poster. You will not find either Ash-Shafi nor Ar-Rabb. No, not necessarily. No, but this one, Ar-Rab particularly, is one of the names and attributes. I mean, it's the Rububiyya. But when it comes with Alif Lam, it becomes particular to Allah. Otherwise, we say Rabbul Amal, the one in charge of the, you know, work. Rabbul Bayt, the one in charge of the house. But when you say Ar-Rab, then this is only to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And that didn't come in the Quran, it came in the Sunnah. Are we on the same page? I know I'm confusing you, but that's life. طيب. الرب لم يأتي في القرآن بدون إضافة لكن في السنة قال رسوله صلى الله عليه وسلم أما الركوع فعظم فيه الرب. So رب did not come in the Quran with the alif lam, but it came in the Sunnah. The Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم said, as for the ركوع, then exalt and extol in it the master, which is Allah. وقال في السواك, he said about the سواك, مطهرة للفم ومرضاة للرب. It is purifying for the mouth, pleasing to the master. That's why even if you brush your teeth, you know, with a toothbrush and a toothpaste and the modern ways of cleansing one's mouth, keep a sunnah, keep the siwak elsewhere and involved in the business, because it is specifically pleasing to Allah. That was not mentioned about the Colgate, you know, and the other stuff. So this is special. But, so I hope this is clear, right? Like I said, if you get the book of Sheikh bin Uthaymeen and you read the names in English and you read the introduction and the whole thing, things will become clear. Don't get confused right now. But there are 99 names which we know of. Allah has more. And these 99 names are not the ones that you find in the poster in everyone's house. They are, it's another list of names. Yes, maybe you will say 80% are common. 80% of them are common, Al-Malik, Al-Quddus, Al-Salam, no doubt. But there are others in the Sunnah which are not on that list, and there are others on that list which are not in the Sunnah or the Quran. And so we stick to the authentic one. You will find them in the book. طيب وظاهر كلام المؤلف رحمه الله أنه يشترط لقبولهما شرطان الأول أن تكون الأحاديث صحيحة. According to the pure meaning of Sheikh Islam's statement رحمه الله, there are two conditions required for us to accept. A, or one, that the narrations are authentic. The narrations must be authentic. Very, very fundamental. والثاني أن يكون أهل المعرفة يعني بالأحاديث تلقوها بالقبول. ولكن ليس هذا هو المراد. بل مراد الشيخ رحمه الله أن الأحاديث الصحاح تلقاها أهل المعرفة بالقبول فتكون الصفة هذه صفة كاشفة لا صفة مكيدة. This is only going to confuse you more. The second thing is that the people of knowledge, those who are well versed in the science of hadith, have confirmed the authenticity of these narrations. Not that they must accept for us to believe. Once it's authentic, then we must believe without a doubt. فقوله التي تلقاها هذا بيان لحال الأحاديث الصحيحة أي أن أهل المعرفة تلقوها بالقبول لأن من المستحيل أن تكون أحاديث صحيحة ثم يرفضها أهل المعرفة بل سيقبلونها. So this is explaining that they accepted the narration after it has been authenticated. Otherwise it's impossible that the people of knowledge will receive an authentic narration and yet will refuse it. Rather they will accept it. They will accept the hadith. صحيح أن هناك حديث ظاهرها الصحة ولكن قد تكون معلولة بعلة كانقلاب على الراوي ونحوه هذه لا تعد من الأحاديث الصحيحة. Sometimes the narrations appear to be authentic. However, it may have a defect in it, such as the narrator of the hadith getting mixed up and confused. In such case, we cannot say the hadith is صحيح. So we are speaking about authentic narrations that cannot afford any doubt. Meaning, as they say, beyond the shadow of doubt, that this is صحيح, حديث صحيح. طيب قال وجب الإيمان بها. It is obligatory, compulsory to believe in it. لقوله تعالى يا أيها الذين آمنوا آمنوا بالله ورسوله. Because Allah had said in the Quran in Surah النساء Ayah 136, O you who have believed, believe in Allah and His Messenger. After Allah addressed the believers, He told them again, believe in Allah and His Messenger. وقوله يا أيها الذين آمنوا أطيعوا الله وأطيعوا الرسول. O you who have believed, obey Allah and obey the Messenger. وقوله تعالى ويوم يناديهم فيقول ماذا أجبتم المرسلين فعميت عليهم الأنباء يومئذ فهم لا يتساءلون. And on the day where Allah will call on them and He will say, what did you respond? What was your response to the messengers? What did you say? What was your reaction? What was the feedback concerning the messengers? So the news will become blinded upon them on that day, and they will not be able to interrogate or question. It'll be too late for them. On the day of judgment, they cannot get, well, you know, he told me and I told him. Khalas. It's all over. والنصوص في هذه كثيرة معلومة. Textual evidences in this context are many and abundant, and we all know them. That, you know, we have a relation with the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, which is part of the revelation which he received from Allah. And our behavior in terms of both is equal. Whether it is Quran or authentic Sunnah, they carry the same value. We don't prioritize and we don't favor one over the other. A sahih hadith is like a verse in the book of Allah. In fact, the Quran is hadith. Right or wrong? How do you think the Quran became what it is today? It was through a narration. Someone heard it from the Prophet ﷺ, memorized it, and narrated it to others. It's the same science. However, the difference is that the Quran is so abundantly memorized by so many people, there's no need to verify. You know, at the time of the Sahaba, you know, thousands had it memorized, and the Tabi'een, that there's no doubt concerning authenticity, but the hadith is a different story. You see, otherwise they both came from the same source, narration. It was narrated from one individual to another before it was written in a book. Right or wrong? Right? طيب. وَعْلَمْ أَنَّ مَوْقِفَ أَهْلِ الْأَهْوَاءِ وَالْبِدْعِ تجاه الأحاديث المخالفة لأهوائهم يدور على أمرين إما التكذيب وإما التحريف. عجيب. Know that the position of the people of desires and innovations concerning the authentic narrations that oppose their position is between two different approaches. Either they will belie it or they will distort the meaning and explain it away. Either they will deny it or they will explain it in another way. فَإِنْ كَانَ يُمْكِنُهُمْ تَكْذِيبُهُ كَذَّبُوهُ. If they are able to belie it, which means deny it, they will do so. They will deny it. فَقَوْلِهِمْ فِي الْقَاعِدَ الْبَاطِلَةِ أَخْبَارُ الْأَحَادِ لَا تُقْبَلْ فِي الْعَقِيدَةِ. Such as them saying, narrations which were narrated by a single chain of narrators are unacceptable in Aqidah. Or actually there was one man in the chain, they will refuse to accept this. Meaning a single chain. It wasn't heard by many different people through different narrations. It was only through one man. They will say, this we will not accept in Aqidah. Because supposedly there's a possibility of error. Even if the hadith is in Bukhari or Muslim, they will refuse it. They claim that for the hadith to be acceptable, it must be heard by many people, narrated through different chains. A single chain? No. This is one of the ways they would belie the narration. وقد رد ابن القيم رحمه الله هذه القاعدة وأبطلها بأدلة كثيرة في آخر مختصر الصواعق. And ابن القيم رحمه الله had refuted this principle of theirs, and he had nullified it with various textual evidences in the book, the abridged version of الصواعق, the thunderstorms which he sent upon the people of Bid'ah. وإن كان لا يمكنهم تكذيبه حرفوه كما حرفوا نصوص القرآن. If they're unable to deny it, because it's not, for example, ahad, in the hadith of ahad, then they will go ahead and twist the meaning away the same way they do to the Qur'an. They will distort the meaning the same way they do with the Qur'an. And again, I share with you the lecture of shirk undercover. You remember that one? Just yesterday, somebody left me a lovely comment, again, ya kafir. You know, you kafir, may Allah guide you and destroy your cancerous sect. Right? And then he left two comments, lovely comments like this. That was the first one. The second one is, ya mujassim, you know, same thing. You know, you disbeliever, Allah will destroy, something along these lines. You know, every now and then somebody comes across some of these lectures. And what was the lecture, shirk undercover? It was just telling the people, you can't worship a dead man in the grave. And that is shirk. And to him, I'm playing with this belief system. And now I'm the kafir, because I'm doing takfir on him. You see? So I'm trying to show you that these people exist. Don't think I'm speaking about some anonymous individuals, some fictitious individuals. These are Muslims who will deny Quran and the Sunnah blatantly without any reservation. You tell him Allah is above His creation, he will say, you are out of your mind. How could you say that? And by saying, and you will get a whole lecture, philosophical lecture. These people exist. We need to be careful. طيب. أما أهل السنة فقبلوا كل ما صح عن النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم في الأمور العلمية والأمور العملية لقيام الدليل على وجوب قبول ذلك. As for the people of Sunnah, they look how beautiful it is. They accept everything that is authentic from the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, be it in the matters of knowledge or in the matters of application of the knowledge, because we have evidences which make it incumbent on us to do so. We have no choice. We were commanded to obey Allah and the Messenger. This is from Allah and that is from the Messenger. We have no choice. There's no debate here. We submit. Alhamdulillah. وقوله كذلك يعني كما يجب الإيمان بما في القرآن من غير تحريف ولا تعطيل ولا تكييف ولا تمثيل. كذلك also or as such, here is in reference that we is the same way we believe in the Quran, we believe in the Sunnah without تحريف, without distorting the meaning, ولا تعطيل, without denying the meaning, ولا تكييف, without saying how Allah does it like that. No. How do you know? Did you see? You didn't see? Keep quiet. You can't speak about Allah without knowledge. You cannot say Allah rises above His throne like that, or Allah descends to the lowest heaven like that. On what basis are you saying how? So we don't say how because we have not been taught by Allah or the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam how Allah does what He does. So we don't speak about that. Allah knows best. It's a bid'ah to ask. وَلَا تَمْثِيلَ, and without likening Allah to His creation, like such and such or like such and such. طيب. وقد ذكر المؤلف رحمه الله منها حديث عديدة منها. And the author, may Allah have mercy on him, had enumerated or has cited a number of narrations. Among them, فصل في أحاديث الصفات. طيب. The chapter on the narrations of Allah's attributes. الحديث الأول في إثبات نزول الله إلى السماء الدنيا. The first narration is to affirm and confirm Allah's descendants to the lowest heaven of the dunya. The lowest heaven, which is that of the world, the one that is closest to us, because we said there are seven heavens, right? Sab'a samawat, seven heavens. And Allah Azza wa Jal is above the throne, above the seven heavens, separate from His creation. He's not mixed with them, and we have no idea what it's like. But we know that Allahu Akbar, Allah is the greatest, and there's nothing like Him. And that's what He told us in the Quran. Ar-Rahmanu ala al-Arshi istawa. A'amintum man fi as-samaa. And we had quoted the ayat already in the previous lectures and lessons. طيب, the hadith, wa huwa qawluhu sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, yanzilu rabbuna ila as-samaa' ad-dunya kulla layla, hina yabqa thuluthu al-layl al-akhir, fayaqul, man yad'uni fa astajibu lah, man yas'aluni fa a'tiyah, man yastaghfiruni fa aghfiru lah. Muttafaqun alayhi Bukhari and Muslim. Now this is where we have to rationalize here. Ya akhi, this is the Messenger of Allah, alayhi salatu salam, speaking to the Sahaba, the most eloquent of Arabs, the most eloquent of people of language, those who the Arabic language was their only unique characteristic until they became Muslims. Before that, there was nothing special about them but Arabic, the Arabic language. He's speaking to them in a language which they understand. They know what the word nazala, yanzilu, and you look up any dictionary in the world, put the word nazala, it will say go down, descend. That, there's no dispute about that. He's speaking to them in a language they understand. And he's telling them, yanzilu rabbuna ila sama'i dunya. Our Lord, our Master descends to the lowest heaven. What does that mean? That means that he is speaking to them in a language which they understand. If he intended something else, alayhi salatu wasalam, he would have done one of two things. Either used another form of language, other wordings that will allude to the meaning he wants, or he would have explained that when I say that, I don't mean that Allah Himself descends, I mean Allah's mercy. Neither did he make that explanation, nor did they inquire, O Messenger of Allah, is it our Lord Himself or is it His mercy that descends? The fact that this conversation never took place, between the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the most knowledgeable of Allah, and between the Sahaba, the most keen on learning the deen, if this conversation never took place, we should never have this conversation. Then what do? You accept it as it is. If you have a problem, then the problem is your understanding Allah. You insist on imagining a human being going down, and because of this wicked imagination of yours, you're trying to free Allah from this claim. But Allah is not like a human being for you to imagine anything. You don't imagine, but you believe. You see what I'm saying? We understand this fundamental principle. But the Shaykh will explain. هذا الحديث قال بعض أهل العلم إنه من الأحاديث المتواترة. The ulama say this is among the narrations that were أهل الأخي, that were narrated abundantly by so many people. يعني there's no dispute. It's in Bukhari, in Muslim, and we have a number of chains. واتفقوا على أنه من الأحاديث المشهورة المستفيضة عند أهل العلم بالسنة. It is a narration which they agreed. It's among the narrations which are acceptable among the people of the Sunnah, the people of knowledge of the Sunnah. قوله ينزل ربنا إلى السماء الدنيا نزوله تعالى حقيقي. Concerning Allah's Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam statement, our Lord descends, our Master descends to the lowest heaven. The Shaykh said this is a real, real descendance. Real, not metaphoric, not symbolic, not anything else. It's just as the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, Allah descends. How? Don't say a word. You don't understand? Accuse your intellect. Your intellect is not vast enough to understand. Say, I have a problem in my understanding, but don't. Don't you dare say no. No, this cannot be. Ya akhi, the message of Allah says and you say no? He affirms and you deny? Amazing attitude. This is su adab with the Messenger of Allah. Lack of mannerism with the Messenger of Allah. Denying his statement, belying his statement, saying he means something else when he didn't explain. For example, I come and say, I'm your brother. I come and say, I'm sick. And all of a sudden, Mr. Muhammad Ibrahim, he says, he means he's thirsty. Lit. Did I tell you I'm thirsty? Who told you to speak on my behalf? On what basis are you speaking on my behalf? What lack of mannerism is this? Akhi, I say I'm sick, I have a fever, I'm not thirsty. If I was thirsty, I would have said, I am thirsty, A. Or as I told you earlier, I would have taught you maybe before, brothers, when I say I'm sick, it means I'm thirsty. If I neither did the first nor the second, on what basis are you rejecting my statement and telling the people, no, he's not sick, don't worry, I know, he's just thirsty, I'm going to get him some water. I say this is no good, brother. This is lack of mannerism with your brother, trying to interpret my speech in a way that I did not allow you to do. And this is what these people are doing with the Messenger of Allah. He says something, they say no. He really doesn't mean that. He means Allah's mercy goes down. So don't you think he could have said, تَنْزِلُ رَحْمَةُ رَبُّنَا تَبَارَكَ وَتَعَالَى, the mercy of our Lord descends? Isn't that easy for him? It is. He never said that. Ajib. Plus, if Allah's mercy goes down, that only at the last third of the night, then how do we receive mercy 24/7? Allah's mercy is going down all the time. Right or wrong? We are experiencing Allah's mercy now. So on what basis are they limiting it to the last third of the night? You see, when you go against the Quran and Sunnah, you will go astray. And you will see, they will never be able to give you a satisfactory justification. Nothing. Everything they explain sounds like a bunch of nonsense. But the way of the Sunnah is strong and powerful. طيب. لأنه كما مر علينا من قبل أن كل شيء كان الضمير يعود في الله فهو ينسب إليه حقيقة. And every time the pronoun is being referred to Allah, then we should affirm it to Allah in truth, not metaphorically. فعلينا أن نؤمن به ونصدق ونقول. It is upon us to believe in it and to accept it and to say, ينزل ربنا إلى السماء الدنيا. Our Lord descends to the lowest heaven. وهي أقرب السماوات إلى الأرض. And it is the nearest one to the earth. والسماوات سبع. And the heavens are seven. وإنما ينزل عز وجل في هذا الوقت من الليل للقرب من عباده جل وعلا. He descends at that part of the night so that he may be near to his slaves. This is the time of virtue, the time of salah. كما يقرب منهم عشية عرفة حيث يباهي الواقفين الملائكة. The same way he does on the eve of Arafah. As it comes in the authentic hadith that he comes close and he will say to the angels, what do they want? He's trying to show the angels how all these, you know, millions of people came from all over the world begging Allah for mercy. So Allah will you know, he will kind of show the angels the virtue of these people. What do they want? Yani look what they came from. This is a question with the intent of affirming something. You know, like I say, didn't I tell you? Which means I told you. Right? Didn't I tell you to listen to me? Which means I told you to listen to me. What do they want? Meaning, look what they want. Look what they have come for. So this is also affirmed in the hadith concerning the day of Arafah. وَقَوْلُهُ كُلُّ لَيْلَىٰ يَشْمَلْ جَمِيعَ لَيْلَىٰ الْعَمْ. Every night means every night. And the according to the Gregorian calendar or the Hijri? The Hijri. Every day, it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. Every night, this is the same case. حين يبقى ثلث الليل الآخر, when the last third of the night remains, at the last third of the night. والليل يبتدئ من غروب الشمس اتفاقا لكن حصل الخلاف في انتهائه هل يكون بطلوع الفجر أو بطلوع الشمس. The Sheikh said, and the night begins at sunset, as an agreement among the ulama. However, they have differed about when it ends. Is it with the entrance of Fajr or the sunrise? والظاهر أن الليل الشرعي ينتهي بطلوع الفجر. And the most popular opinion, the apparent one, is that the night ends with the dawn, with the entrance of dawn, not with the sunrise, not with the sunrise. والليل الفلكي ينتهي بطلوع الشمس. طيب. وقوله فيقول, then Allah will say, من يدعوني, who, من, استفهام للتشويق. It's an interrogative question intending to encourage. For example, a teacher will come to class and say, who will come on the board? Right? Who would like to come on the board? Which I'm saying, I'm trying to encourage someone to get on the board. Not that I'm really asking, but I'm trying to excite them or encourage them to come on the board, someone to take lead in the classroom. Who, كَقَوْلِهِ تَعَالَى هَلْ أَدُلُّكُمْ عَلَى تِجَارَةٍ تُنْجِيكُمْ مِنْ عَذَابٍ أَلِيمٍ. Like Allah said in Surah Al-Saff, verse 10. Shall I inform you about a trade which will protect you from a severe punishment? And even though it comes in an interrogative, what is intended is, let me tell you. You know, don't you want to know about a business, a trade, which will protect you from the severe punishment? تُؤْمِنُونَ بِاللَّهِ وَرَسُولِهِ وَتُجَاهِدُونَ فِي سَبِيلِهِ. You know the ayat. You believe in Allah and His Messenger, and you struggle in Allah's path. And that means armed struggle against the kuffar, and that means da'wah. Also enjoining what is good, forbidding what is evil. All this involved in jihad. Each one that does jihad according to ability. Those who are physically able, then they go for the one in their countries where they are suffering. It becomes obligatory on those Muslims to defend the honor of Muslims and to make the deen of Allah supreme. And for those of us who are distant, then the jihad is with the tongue, with the pen, and with any other means of even jihad by us living up to Islam. Not being a bunch of lousy Muslims, you know. Barely practicing. Every time we want to do something, someone must beg us for weeks. For weeks and months we keep saying, brother, please apply the ruling. Okay, inshallah, brother, inshallah next week, inshallah next month. Brother, please, for ya Sheikh, you want me to kiss your feet for you to go to Jannah? Ya Sheikh, if you want to go to Jannah, act. It's amazing, by the way. Amazing the affairs. Like, we have to beg the Muslims just to apply the deen. Even though, what benefit is there? The benefit is for the person, not for the da'i. The da'i has done his job by conveying the message. But it's the person who will benefit. Some people love to be, you know, begged for years and years. And they may die without ever applying. The real believer does not hesitate. Does not wait. He will ala tul act, because the belief will force him not to take any chance, no risking. There's no gambling in Islam, no gambling with Jannah and Jahannam. This is the reality. And if we reach this level, then we are true believers. If we don't have this level, we are believers, alhamdulillah, but we got a long way to go. Because the Sahaba's main quality was, سَمِعْنَا وأطعنا. We hear, we obey. There's no سمعنا, then فكرنا, we think, then انتظرنا, we wait, then وأطعنا, then we obey. No, no, سمعنا وأطعنا. We listen, we obey. It's automatic. This is the Sahaba. We can do it today, believe it or not. We can do it today. Especially regarding things that Allah made easy. Some things we are weak, you know, I understand, you know, we will fall into sin after we have left it alone. But the things that are, you know, easy, no, 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 no. No, 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 my brother. طيب. يدعوني يعني يقول يا رب. He calls on me. Who will call on me? Who will supplicate to me? Who will invoke me or invoke upon me by saying, يا رب, O Master, my Master, my Lord. Of course, Rabb, Master is a better translation than Lord, because Lord is a Christian, really, and it has a special connotation in Christianity. Furthermore, it is limited in meaning. Master deals with slavery. The Master is the one who owned the slaves, and we are the slaves of Allah. He is our Master. You see, so it's more befitting, but يعني both can be used, inshallah. على كل حال. وقوله فأستجيب له بالنصب لأنها جواب الطلب فأستجيب له عفوا. I will respond to him. Who will supplicate to me so that I will respond to his supplication? عجيب. من يسألني يقول أسألك الجنة أو نحو ذلك. Who will ask me, meaning he asked me for Jannah or something along these lines, فأعطيه الدرهم الشريف, so I will give it to him. من يستغفرني فيقول اللهم اغفر لي واستغفرك اللهم. Who will seek my forgiveness by saying, oh Allah forgive me, or Allah I seek your forgiveness. فأغفر له والمغفرة ستر الذنب والتجاوز عنه, so I will forgive him. And the Shaykh said مغفرة is concealing the sin overlooking it. To overlook something, meaning to just ignore it, not a big deal. You know, you see something wrong, you overlook it, meaning you don't make a big deal. That's maghfirah. That Allah will conceal your sin, it doesn't expose you, and He will not hold you accountable for it. And we said the word maghfirah comes from mighfar. And mighfar is the helmet, if I may call it, that they used to use at wartime. And today, those involved in construction work, they wear something similar, right? Anything you wear on your head which will protect you from arrows or from being harmed is a mighfar. And the word maghfirah comes from mighfar, because it protects you from the consequences of being damaged. And maghfirah protects you from the consequences of your sins. Isn't that amazing? Everything in the Arabic language, by the way, has something, you know, virtuous like that in the language. طيب. Let's see. We have time. جيد. فبهذا يتبين لكل إنسان قرأ هذا الحديث أن المراد بالنزول هنا نزول الله نفسه. With this, it becomes clear for every person who reads this narration that what is intended by Allah descending is Allah Himself descending. ولا نحتاج أن نقول بذاته. We don't have to say Himself. The Shaykh is saying, but now we're having to use it because of the people of innovation. ما دام الفعل أضيف إليه فهو له. Because the pronoun is in reference to Him, so even saying Himself is not necessary. Allah descends. Himself is for emphasis, but we don't even need it. Allah descends, khalas. Because it's referring to Him. The pronoun is referring to Him. Himself is like, emphasis. لكن بعض العلماء قالوا ينزل بذاته. Some of the ulama added He descends Himself. على كل حال. لأنهم لجوا إلى ذلك واضطروا إليه. Why? They had to. They were forced, as I told you earlier, because of the people of innovation. Because if you say Allah descends, the people of innovation will say mercy. But when you say Allah Himself, you cannot interpret it otherwise. So then they had to use Himself to refute those who will say what is intended is Allah's mercy and not Allah Himself. لأن هناك من حرفوا الحديث وقالوا الذي ينزل أمر الله. Because there are many who have distorted the meaning, the hadith, and they said what goes down is the command of Allah. وَقَالَ أَخَرُونَ بَلْ الَّذِي يَنْزِلْ رَحْمَةُ اللَّهِ. And others said no, what goes down is the mercy of Allah. وَقَالَ أَخَرُونَ بَلْ الَّذِي يَنْزِلْ مَلَكٌ مِنْ مَلَائِكَةِ اللَّهِ. And the most feeble minded among them said no, what goes down is an angel from the angels of Allah. إيش هذا؟ إيش هذا؟ What do these people want? It's Allah's command. No, no, it's Allah's mercy. No, it's Allah, one of the angels. Why? Okay, accept it as it is and move on. Subhanallah, subhanallah, basic stuff. This shaykh says, وَهَذَا بَاطِلٌ, this is falsehood. فَإِنَّ نُزُولُ أَمْرِ اللَّهِ دَائِمًا وَأَبَدًا, Allah's command is going down always and forever. Right? وَلَا يَخْتَصُّ نُزُولِهِ فِي الثُّلُثِ الْأَخِيرِ مِنَ اللَّيْلِ, it's not restricted to the last third of the night. قال الله تعالى يُدَبِّرُ الْأَمْرَ مِنَ السَّمَاءِ إِلَى الْأَرْضِ ثُمَّ يَعْرُجُ إِلَيْهِ, he arranges the affair, the command from the heavens to the earth. وقال وإليه يرجع الأمر كله, the command goes back to him all the time, meaning command is coming down and command is going up 24/7. So then how did they specify it and restrict it to the last third of the night? It's not applicable. It doesn't make any sense. وأما قولهم تنزل رحمة الله إلى السماء الدنيا حين يبقى ثلث الليل الآخر فسبحان الله, the Shaykh said, as for them saying the mercy of Allah descends to the lower seven at the last third of the night, we say سبحان الله. الرحمة لا تنزل إلا في هذا الوقت, mercy does not go down except during that time. That's amazing. يعني only during the last third of the night, otherwise no mercy. قال تعالى وما بكم من نعمة فمن الله, Allah said there isn't a single favor, a bounty which you have except that it is from Allah. كل نعم من الله, all bounties and favors are from Allah. وهي من أثار رحمته, it is part of His mercy. The bounty which Allah gives you is mercy from Allah. He gave you hair, you know, He gave you a body that is functioning, He gave you health, He gave you wealth, He gave you children. It's all from Allah, and this is it's a product of mercy. It's from the mercy of Allah Azza wa Jal. وهي تترى كل وقت, and it is coming abundantly all the time. ثم نقول أي فائدة لنا بنزول الرحمة إلى سماء الدنيا, then we say okay, now you tell me, what is the benefit in mercy going down to the lowest heaven? And طب, let's say the mercy of Allah came down to the lowest heaven, and then what? Then what? It didn't say it went down to the slaves, right? They said it goes down to the lower seven, and nothing. Then is the mercy going to ask, who's supplicating, so I can, you know, يعني it doesn't make any sense. والله عجيب عجيب. طيب ثم نقول لمن قال إن الملائكة إنه ملك من ملائكته, هل من المعقول أن الملك من ملائكة الله يقول من يدعوني فأستجيب له؟ Is it, if they say it's the angel from the angels of Allah, is it possible that the angel will say, who's calling on me so I can respond to him? He says shirk. Subhanallah. إلى آخره. Etc. You will never end. It's an unending you know, issue when they continue to go against the Quran and the Sunnah. فتبين بهذا أن هذه الأقوال تحريف باطل يبطله الحديث. It becomes clear that these statements are distortion, false distortions that are the hadith does not allow or entertain. The hadith itself does not entertain these false meanings. وَوَاللَّهِ, and by Allah, لَيْسُ أَعْلَمَ بِاللَّهِ مِنْ رَسُولِ اللَّهِ صلى الله عليه وسلم, they do not know Allah more than the Messenger of Allah صلى الله عليه وسلم. They have no, they did not have more knowledge of Allah than the Messenger of Allah صلى الله عليه وسلم. وليسوا أنصح لعباد الله من رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم. Nor are they more concerned about giving advice to the servants of Allah more than the Messenger of Allah صلى الله عليه وسلم. وليسوا أفصح في قولهم من رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم. And they are not more eloquent. Beautiful. They are not more knowledgeable of Allah. They cannot possibly be more concerned about people being guided than the Messenger of Allah, nor are they more eloquent than him. And he didn't say what they're saying. He had better speech. He said, يَنْزِلُ رَبُّنَا. He was more concerned about people being guided. He didn't give him any other explanations. And he knew Allah the most. He didn't say something else. Subhanallah. You see, you feel the truth? You see how powerful it is? Yeah. That's the feeling you need to leave this class with. So you will not be shaken with in the winds outside. You will find, I'm telling you, if you go to the internet and put Google these things, you will be traumatized. What Muslims believe, and how much these are a minority today, a minority. Those who adhere to the understanding of Ahlus Sunnah wal Jama'ah are not the majority of the Muslims. Unfortunately, we ask Allah to return us all to the truth in a beautiful manner. على كل حال, we will stop at that particular point, insha'Allah ta'ala, and we will continue bi-idhnillah azza wa jalla next week. if we all remain alive and healthy. وآخر دعوانا أن الحمد لله رب العالمين وصلى الله وسلم على نبينا محمد. Beautiful narrations, inshallah.
One question.